बिहारे गोपे जन बाला गिरिवर Balava Giribharadhari
Gopi Janabalava
Giribharadhari Yashodhanandana Vrajajanaranjana
Yashodhanandana
Vrajajanaranjana
Yeah.
Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda Gita Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Gita Vrindavan Dham Gita Navadvip Dham Gangamaya Gita Jumonamaya Gita Tulsi Devi Gita Bhakti Devi Gita Samaveda Bhakta Vinda Gita Shri Shri Radha Giridhari ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Jai Gaura Prabhupada. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gaura. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
As it is, chapter 11, verse 51. When Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his original form, he said, O Janardhan, seeing this human-like form is so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind. And I am restored to my original nature. This is just after Krishna's revealing his universal form to Arjuna. Just before the battle of Kurukshetra. Purport by his divine grace, Asi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Here the words Manushyam Rupam clearly indicate the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be originally to him. Those who deride Krishna as if he were an ordinary person are shown here to be ignorant of his divine nature. If Krishna is like an ordinary human being, then how is it possible for him to show the universal form? And again to show the four-handed Narayan form. So it is very clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita that one who thinks of Krishna as an ordinary person and who misguides the reader by claiming that it is the impersonal Brahman within Krishna speaking is doing the greatest injustice. Krishna has actually shown his universal form and his four-handed Vishnu form, so how can he be an ordinary human being? A pure devotee is not confused by misguiding commentaries in Bhagavad Gita, because he knows what is what. The original verses of Bhagavad Gita are as clear as the sun. They do not require lamplight from foolish commentators. Om. Seeing the universal form of Sri Krishna, Arjuna became overwhelmed with awe and reverence. And after praising that manifestation, he pleaded with Krishna, "Please become my friend." The conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is Manmanabhava Madhbhakto Aditi Man Namasku Mamivashasi Satyam Te Tijani Priyosime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me, and thus you will surely come to me, because how can we always think of Krishna 24 hours a day? We naturally remember the person we love, who is more charming, more kind, more affectionate than anyone else we know. These qualities are not manifest in the universal form, awesome and majestic as it is. Therefore, Arjuna longed to see his dear friend Krishna in his two-armed form, more human than superhuman, more natural than supernatural, more sweet and charming than awesome. And Krishna fulfilled his desire. Krishna imparted instructions to his dearmost friend Arjuna, which enabled him to overcome the insurmountable obstacles and the tremendously superior military might of the Kauravas who were fighting against Krishna. And his conclusion to all his teachings was, always think of me. Srimad Bhagavatam begins where Bhagavad Gita ends. The symptom of always thinking of Krishna is sarva dharma vrittija mamikam sharanam braja aham tam sarva papivyo Mukshanishma Masaja. Krishna speaks to Arjuna and through him to all the world. Abandon all other dharmas and surrender unto me. What is dharma? So many translations. But the essence is the inherent nature of a being without which it ceases to be what it is. What is the inherent, inalienable nature of every living entity? It is to love someone and to do something to express that love. And that gives us something to live for. So Krishna is saying, abandon all varieties of dharma. Because the essence of all dharma is to always think of Krishna. And the symptom of that is, well, abandon everything else, because everything is achieved in remembrance of Krishna. So at that point, the point of surrender, where Bhagavad Gita falls silent, Srimad Bhagavatam begins, giving more elaborate insight into how to surrender to Krishna. And the last word in that great scripture is to take shelter of the holy name of Krishna. On that last word, that great scripture falls silent. That is where Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita begins. And takes us into the very deepest essence of love as exchanged between the Lord and his devotees, and the devotees with one another. It's very inspiring being with the residents of New Govardhan, because I'm also a resident of Govardhan in Vrindavan, where Srila Prabhupada's, amongst his very first instructions, was to rename the high places as Govardhan, and if there are lakes, name them Radhakund and Shamakund, which are at the foot of Govardhan. Right from the very beginning, Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish the glories of Govardhan for so many reasons. We all, all the world practically celebrates Govardhan Puja, which demonstrates how Krishna protects his devotees. The residents of Braja, Krishna saw, were preparing a grand sacrifice for Indra. This represents the utilitarian principle of working together for the upliftment, benefit, and security of society. Krishna wanted to demonstrate a higher principle, that if for the sake of serving him, his devotee is called to abandon social and domestic duties, bringing upon himself a consequence as extreme as the destruction of the world, Krishna will protect his devotee, as he did when Indra concentrated the full force of the destructive potency of the Samvartika clouds, whose sole purpose is to destroy the universe at the end of Brahma's day, and more completely at the end of Brahma's life. focus your condensed fury upon this little coward settlement of Vrindavan, where the residents don't even have umbrellas. What to speak of the apocalypse when it was like the ocean just turned upside down and was dumped upon them. And they were suffering, and they were fearful, and they were running to Krishna. Krishna, please protect your cows and save us too. But they're not like the ordinary living entities who face the storms and trials and tribulations of life in seeking various types of shelter. And we're being encouraged by this pastime to turn to the Lord in all such circumstances. But the Prithivasis were making an appeal to Krishna to save them, because they knew he would be more responsive to their concern than he would to his own. And the psychology of the Brijabasis is that they were fearful only for Krishna. They were concerned that Krishna be protected in this great calamity, because they didn't know of his universal form or his Vishnu form. He was their charming village boy who everyone loved more dearly than their own life. And they were fearful. He's so tender. He's so gentle. He's so soft that when you embrace him, it's like butter melting to your heart. How can he survive this onslaught? But they knew that Krishna is not even concerned with his own protection. He's concerned with protecting his cows and his devotees. Their deeper concern was, if we do perish, then who will sing for Krishna? And who will dance with Krishna? Who will cook for Krishna? Who will play with Krishna? Krishna, this is a great calamity. Please protect your cows and save us too. So, he lifted Govardhan Hill with a little pinky of his left hand and held it so effortlessly, playfully, for 7 days, during which time all the Brijabasis, there's hundreds and thousands of them, they all had the same experience simultaneously. That Krishna is looking just at me. He's smiling just at me. He's exchanging loving glances and affectionate smiles just with me. And nobody was proud, because they were thinking everybody else is so much better than me. But Krishna is so kind to encourage me. He's exchanging affection in this way. And Krishna was simultaneously relishing the affectionate glances and concerned looks from all his Brijabasi associates. And they were so fulfilled by this exchange of love, because in a normal day in Braj, Krishna goes out in the forest in the morning with the gopis to herd cows, leaving his parents in separation. He disappears from the cows and the gopis at midday to meet secretly the gopis of Radha Kund, leaving the gopis and the cows in separation. Then he leaves the gopis at Radha Kund in separation to spend the afternoon with the gopis and cows. Nanda and Yashoda are in separation all day until Krishna comes home. So all through the day, someone has Krishna and someone's in separation. But for one whole week, nobody had to go home, including Krishna. Because their new home they found when he lifted the hill. And when it seemed like the universe was about to be destroyed, and Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, they saw beneath the hill, not darkness of a cavern, but a luminous landscape with wide valleys and broad fields rich and green with barley swaying in the breeze, and newly constructed residences with every imaginable delight. But nobody went to their new homes or tasted any of their new delights because they were so deeply relishing the sweet, intimate, personal exchanges with Krishna. So for 1 week, nobody thought of eating, sleeping, or going home. There was other concerns, because while holding the hill with one hand, Krishna tried to play his flute with the other hand, and then the Vrishabhasis became fearful, because they knew that when Krishna plays his flute, everything changes its inherent nature. Mountains melt and flow like rivers, and rivers become solid like stone. He thought, if this hill melts. And then Mother Jashoda was so concerned. My child is so tender. How can he hold this mountain for a week without getting tired? So she was trying to feed him and kiss him. But Mother Mangal told her, don't worry, Mother Jashoda. Krishna's not holding the hill. It's my brahminical tejas and mystic powers that's holding. He's just taking the credit by pretending. And Mother Jashoda scolded him, Krishna. And Mother Mangal, this is a great calamity. This is no time for a Brahmin to joke. And then, when the Vrishabhasis saw Krishna casting a sidelong glance towards Srimati Radharani, and the hill began to tremble, they called out in desperation, Krishna, Krishna, save us from yourself. But the real protection was not for the Vrishabhasis. It was for Indra. Because he's a servant of Krishna, but he became infatuated by the opulence and the respect and the worship that was being offered to him. And in that intoxicated condition, he could not recognize that Krishna in Vrindavan is his worshipable Lord. And he went insane. And Krishna, out of kindness, wanted to protect him from the greatest danger in all of creation, which is false. And then after the whole Leela, when Krishna placed the hill down, and he was wandering around the outskirts of where the hill was, to investigate all the damage that had been done outside the shelter of Govardhan. And he was approached by a cow who spoke. He said, Krishna, there's somebody hiding behind me who's embarrassed and ashamed and fearful to come before you. He asked me to intercede on his behalf. And Krishna, he's really a nice devotee, but he just went crazy. So Surabhi stepped aside, and Krishna saw in the dust a brooch with his helmet in the sand, Indra, begging forgiveness. And then a wonderful thing happened. There was such a sweet exchange between Krishna and Indra, who had just tried to kill all of those who were most near and dear to Krishna in the Vrishabhasis. And Krishna very gently and kindly told Indra that I didn't thwart your sacrifice out of envy or enmity. I was just trying to restore you to a healthy state of consciousness. Because you are my servant. Is your anger now gone? Please speak freely with me. And hearing Indra's confession, Krishna understood he's restored to sanity. And then a wonderful thing happened. With the Ganges flowing from Airavata's trunk and the milk flowing from Surabhi's udder, Indra, with the assistance of the great demigods, beginning with Brahma, Shiva, and Narada, and all, performed an Abhishek. And Garuda spread his wings as a canopy. Panchajanya created auspicious sounds reverberating. And the all of nature presented her bounty to worship Krishna in this Abhishek. And the Abhishek was intended by Indra to coronate Krishna as Govinda, the Indra of the cows. Now this is wonderful, because during that whole festival, when all the Brijavasis were immersed in bliss, the whole universe was immersed in bliss, with one exception, Indra, who, thinking that the Brijavasis are being totally destroyed, saw in his above the tree line surrounding his gardens in heaven, he saw a hill rising up above heaven. And he knew that now I'm in trouble. Let's go over them. So for 1 week, Indra suffered miserably. His mind and senses and ego were just so tormented by envy and anger and culminating in guilt and shame and disgrace. Why did he want to coronate Krishna with this new name, Govinda, which means he who gives pleasure to the mind and the senses and the heart and the earth and the land and the cows? Because he realized that when relieved from that poison of false pride and envy, that Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure with whom we connect in devotional service. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Braja, he was very eager, so eager, he ran to embrace a stone from Govardhan Hill. While running, he was singing that shloka from the 10th canto. Of all the devotees, Govardhan is the best. Oh my friends, this hill provides Krishna and Balaram, as well as all the cows, calves, and cowherd friends with all their necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, Govardhan Hill offers his respects to the Lord. Being blessed by the touch of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill is very jubilant. So we see that Govardhan not only makes Krishna and the Brijavasis very jubilant, he is reciprocally enlivened by their jubilation. And why is Mahaprabhu saying, of all devotees, Govardhan is the best? Usually we worship Govardhan as Krishna. Mahaprabhu is praising Govardhan as devotee. And this position of being the combined form of Radha and Krishna in the role of one devotee is unique to only two personalities: Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Giri Govardhan. And that verse, to trace out its origins, illumines the heart with the proper understanding and appreciation of service to the servants of the devotees of Krishna. In the words of, Mahaprabhu was simply echoing the words of Srimati Radharani, spoken 4,500 years ago in her room at Javad with her friends, where they were thinking that now Krishna's out with the gopas and the cows, while we're stuck at home. And they were contemplating how to attain the shelter of Krishna as they were burning in that fire of separation. Srimati Radharani began to answer the question. She said, like a dwarf who seeks to cross the vast ocean without any kind of vessel, attaining shelter of Krishna is futile, but for the shelter of the great souls. And she began very softly with a camphor-like lips chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. Only in response to the mercy of devotees does Sri Krishna bestow his grace. She, the supreme compassionate nature of the Lord, is acknowledging that her merciful glance only reaches those who have taken shelter in the devotees, beginning with Lord Nityananda and on down through his representatives and Guru Parampara, coming down to the present day. She explained that we have heard from the Venerable Gargamuni that Giriraj, who is the king of all mountains, who saved us from the wrath of Indra, who is the source of Braja's good fortune and nature's bounty, is the best devotee. Then the Lalita Devi says, so we should worship him. And Vishakha said, we should take our bath in Manasaganga and petition Haridev, the presiding deity of Govardhan, who is very inclined toward his devotees, to bless us with the association of Krishna. And while the gopis were glorifying Govardhan, who, according to Sanatana Goswami, was out of sight from Madhavani's house in Javad, he appeared on the horizon outside of Srimati Radharani's room. It appeared as if he was coming close to offer his darshan as the gopis desired. But in reality, he was coming close to have their darshan. Their deep regard brought him into vision. In raising her lotus hand in loving aspiration, while her cloth was billowing in the wind, Srimati Radharani expressed that truth, which was later echoed in the heart and expressed in the words of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Because, remember the sequence now, the gopis were seeking association of Krishna, which is only possible by the blessings of his devotee. So what devotee could they take shelter of to achieve the shelter and association of Sri Krishna? Well, at that time, Krishna was herding the cows on Govardhan. So he would be the likely choice of devotees to take shelter of. And they furthermore established that he's the best shelter because he's the best devotee, because he is Krishna in the role of a devotee. They discussed how this exalted term Haridas, servant of Krishna, glorifies such personalities as Uddhava and Yudhisthira and Narada Muni. But the epithet Varya is reserved for Govardhan alone. Haridas Varya means the best of all servants of Krishna and is a name reserved for Govardhan alone. And then they took turns establishing and giving evidence to testify that Govardhan is certainly the best devotee because he is adorned with the Ashtasattvika Bhavas, the eight ecstatic symptoms of divine love, such as hair standing on end, body and voice trembling, perspiration all over, and tears flowing from the eyes. So they asked Chitra, who is most expert in animal care and botany, can you describe the nature of Govardhan's hair standing on end? And she said, yes, that is the durva grass, which is necessary for sacrifice and showing respect to guests. And this grass, which is standing erect in ecstasy on Govardhan's slope, is unique in all of creation because it is so soft and sweet and fragrant and nutritious, and it's not sharp on the end. So not only do Braj's cows prefer that grass, but even the horses which draw the sun god's chariot descend from heaven on their orbit every day to graze on Govardhan. And send back to carry the sun god's chariot throughout creation as if rotating with the wheel of time. And when Krishna's cows eat that grass on Govardhan's slope, they feel Govardhan's loving shelter embracing them, and then the milk just flows from their udders, watering that grass, which is nourished by the sunshine, and then it becomes more sweet and fragrant and soft and nutritious. This is the Brijbasi spirit, everyone encouraging, inspiring, uplifting others. And as you do for others, it comes back to you. This ever-increasing synergy of devotional service. And then Vishakha took her turn to explain that the tears of Govardhan are the prema which is emanating from his pure heart, which he sheds as waterfalls which are gathered in lakes and flow down as streams over rocks which are golden and embedded with rubies and sapphires and diamonds. And that water becomes luminous. And the spray rising from the waterfalls creates like an effulgence or a halo over Govardhan, which is effulgent even at night. And it sparkles. And when Krishna and the gopas and the cows drink that water, which is the tears of love emanating from Govardhan's heart, they become intoxicated and begin singing and dancing and rolling in the dust and playing all kinds of games in the water, like leapfrog, chasing the fish, and water sports, which increases Govardhan's ecstasy to embrace Krishna and the gopas and the cows in his waters as they play in the lakes. And when that water washes the feet of Krishna and Balaram and the gopas, it becomes Charanamrita. And as it flows, it's blended with the juice of the fruits which adorn the trees on Govardhan, like mango juice, and it becomes very flavorful. Vishakha explained that when the vital life force of the living entity begins to surge in prem, and it comes in contact with the element of fire, that creates the ecstatic symptom known as perspiration, which is also water, but is of a subtler and heavenly nature, forming the morning dew, which bedecks the flowers on Govardhan as if with soft jewelry, as if to celebrate the marriage of heaven and earth, which Govardhan represents. And the stones of Govardhan, because Krishna's lotus feet are so soft and tender, that Mother Yashoda and the gopis, they just cry to think. Because Mother Yashoda wanted to make shoes for Krishna, but he said, if you make me shoes, you have to make shoes for all the hundreds of thousands of cows, which need four shoes each. And they all have to have umbrellas as well. And she couldn't finish the job, so he goes barefoot. Soft feet, like pink lotuses, when they touch the stones, those stones become softer than cotton. And the thorns become more delicate than flower petals. And the stones of Govardhan, as does the hill itself, becomes warm and radiant in the winter, and cooling and soothing in the summer. And that facilitates the leelas of Krishna and pleases the devotees. And as Govardhan attracts Krishna and the gopas and the cows to perform unlimitedly wonderful pastimes, Govardhan also inspires within the hearts of poets songs which broadcast his glories and distribute nectar which is showered upon parched souls of Kali Yuga, so much in need of relief. So as the gopis were speaking, Govardhan sent a soft breeze laden with the scent of a guru from Krishna himself to enliven them all the more. And they continued glorifying Govardhan, how his caves are like subterranean paradise, because all the stones are luminous like lamps, and they form beds and couches which become very soft when the gopas lie down and are lulled into a slumber where they dream of newer and newer games to play with Krishna. And when Krishna and Balaram and the gopas take rest in the caves of Govardhan, he feels like he is embracing them to his heart. And then when they come out, the roots, you know, trees have some exposed roots, and they offer seats and beds and playgrounds and slides. And then the very tender ends of the roots, the copas break off because there's licorice roots, which make snacks and ginger snaps. And the unlimited facilities which Govardhan offers for Krishna's service. Rejuvenates the devotees in all the world. With realization of how Krishna reciprocates with his devotees, and those devotees bestow Krishna prema to those who become their servants. Krishna reciprocates and reveals himself through the hearts of his servants as we serve them. And the only thing that Govardhan seeks in reciprocation for his unlimited service is the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna in Balaram, in the gopas, and the cows. And when devotees touch Govardhan Shiva to their heads, they feel the embrace of Govardhan's touch extending into their hearts, which inspires them to chant Hare Krishna with feeling and affection. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the greatest scholar the world has ever known, as we hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when the Digvijaya Pandit, who had conquered every university in the world, leaving Navadvip for the last stop in his triumphant march, he came in riding an elephant with bands playing and all this procession, but he couldn't find any pundits anywhere because they all fled when they heard the Digvijaya Pandits coming, because they knew he had a benediction from Saraswati herself, that nobody could confront him or defeat him. So they all left for various reasons. My niece is getting married, or my mother-in-law is sick. And every single pundit, and there were hundreds and thousands, they all vacated. So he's roaming around on his elephant with his entourage. Where's a pundit to defeat and smash? Because then he met Nimai. Anyway, it's a long past, so we don't have time. But the point is, Nimai so defeated the Digvijaya Pandit, but he won over his heart by his humility as well. It was a defeat by the force of love, not force. But Lord Chaitanya, the greatest pundit, he only wrote 8 verses, because he teaches through his devotees. The principle of renunciation he taught to Raghunath Das Goswami. And when he perfected that principle, how did Lord Gauranga reward him and reciprocate with him and show his supreme blessings upon him? He gifted him his most treasured possession, a Govardhan Shiva and a garland of Gunjamala. Holding that Mahaprabhu, while he had for years that Govardhan Shiva held to his heart and bathed with his tears, he gave it to Raghunath Das Goswami with the Gunjamala, which he understood. Lord Gauranga is benedicting me with shelter at the lotus feet of Govardhan. When he would hold that Govardhan Shiva, and when he wore the Gunjamala, he would be overwhelmed Goswamis of Braja, they understood that this means you are to be the servant of Govardhan and the steward of Radhakun. And when Srila Prabhupada came to America and he heard that there was prospect for that in Appalachia, he immediately replied, "Name the high places Govardhan, and if there are lakes, name them Radhakund and Shamaka." Why? Because Govardhan Hill is the best devotee who benedicts us with supreme, sweet, charming form of Krishna in our hearts. And Radhakund is the lake which holds the essence of Srimati Radharani's love. And immersing ourselves, physically or mentally, in the waters of Radhakund, in the shelter of Govardhan, infuses and inspires our chanting with affection and taste. Because the only way that we can develop such love for Krishna, that we can follow what he says here, Bhagavad Gita, always think of me, 24 hours a day, how to develop that love, as Gauranga Mahaprabhu demonstrated, chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama.
How can it help us to chant with these?
Understanding that Govardhan is the best of devotees, who is represented by all devotees, developing affection and service attitude towards devotees, will attract the unlimited blessings of Radhan Krishna, which infuses your heart with love, which is a source of taste for chanting Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yes.
I have not done the parikrama of Govardhan Hill. I've been there, but
it depends on the love in your heart, which determines what you see. And basically, the love in our heart will purify our vision if it inspires a mood of Trinada Pisunitena, Dadada Pisahishana. The Dham, including Govardhan, is covered by a thin film of material energy. Although it's actually subtler than that, the film is really for our own heart. And that film creates a material veneer over the Dham that bewilders those who have desire to exploit or enjoy into thinking, I'm in the Dham, when you're truly far, far away. But when you develop affection and the heart melts in humility, then our inner vision can see through that film of material energy to see Chintamani Dham, the abode of transcendental touchstone, of which Govardhan is the supreme. So with eyes anointed with a salve of love, we will see Govardhan as a luminous touchstone who fulfills all our deepest aspirations. If you circumambulate this temple, you will achieve the same benefits of Govardhan Parikrama, if you have faith. Anything else? Yes. Yes, Lord Shiva is Vaishnavananda Shambhu. He's the best devotee of Krishna. But what we are saying is that Govardhan Hill is the form of Radha and Krishna in the mood of the best devotee. Yes, what you said is right. This is the distinction. Lord Shiva is a form of Vishnu in the mood of devotee of himself. Not quite Vishnu, almost Vishnu. The Govardhan as Mahaprabhu is the combined form of Radha and Krishna in the mood of servant of the servant of the servants of Krishna. That's the subtle distinction. Anything else? They were already in Golodha Vrindavan. Bulma Vrindavan is an expansion of Goloka Vrindavan. There is no difference. There's no elevating from Goloka, from Bulma Vrindavan. That's as high as you can achieve. Anything else? It's the same verse. Snaratam Das Thakur. When will I lose interest in material desires? Or he actually begins with, when will my mind be free of material desires so I can perceive Vrindavan? When will I feel eagerness to study the teachings of the six Goswamis, which is the only way to understand the transcendental love of Radha and Krishna. Free of material desires to perceive Vrindavan, steeped in the teachings and example of the six Goswamis, to properly understand, not with the mind, with the heart, the love of Radha and Krishna. You know, so much of the service rendered by Srila Narottam Das Thakur, whose appearance day was this week, was inspired by losing the books of all the Goswamis. You know, those boys, Srinivasacharya and Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Pandit, they, or at least the two of them, Narottam Thakur, Shyamananda Pandit, when they found out that while they took rest, and it was the first night they took rest in the whole long journey, the books were stolen, the lifetime contribution of the six Goswamis was gone. Those two wanted to commit a suicide immediately, but Srinivasacharya, their senior, was wise. He understood Krishna could not have allowed this to happen. There is some pastime unfolding in this leela. But so much of Narottam Das Thakur's contributions, which altered the history of Gaudiya Vaishnava movement, which means the history of the world, was based on losing those books, because he was contemplating other means to convey the teachings of the six Goswamis, from which came a whole multimedia presentation in his own unique style of kirtan, which was initially introduced by, in seed form by Sarup Damodar, which begins with invocations praising holy name, quality, pastimes, and mission, message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, gradually evolving into Hare Krishna kirtan, glorifying the lila, rupa of Radha and Krishna. He installed those deities of Vishnupriya and Lord Gauranga along with Radha and Krishna. He invited Janavadevi to harmonize the differences in understanding between the Goswami tradition, the Navadvip tradition, the Aurya tradition. And after inaugurating all these different multimedia ways to compensate for the books being stolen, the books were returned, along with scribes to copy them, and guards to protect them, as the book distribution party continued, as it does even today. Is our time up?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again to the Sundas Darshan Maharaj. We can all get into the roast. We'll serve our prasad. To make sweets with them.